Welcome back to the CapComas podcast, where we get down to the nitty-gritty aspects of student life. We have new main episodes every other Monday and new sub-series episodes on the Wednesdays in between. Make sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, don't forget to drop a follow on our Instagram and TikTok at CapComas Podcast. Enjoy!
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another Cafeteria Conversation. Today we are hosted by me, Ella, Kayla, Matthew, Melman, and my best friend, Pillow.
Oh,
if you're listening on Spotify, you cannot see him, but he is a nice little dog. Want to say something?
Lumpy.
Very limp.
Thank you. Thank you for your words. Okay. Let's say goodbye.
Bye, Pillow.
Bye, Pillow.
So today is our part two of our gifted episode series thing, and we're going to be focusing more on the academics aspect. Just a little preface. I think we just want to make it known that we know that this is like a very, very privileged issue to have. Like,
yes.
We're not saying this is like the worst freaking thing in the world, but it's just something that we have in our lives. Not the worst thing in the world. We know that it's a very like privileged thing to talk about. We just wanted to put that out there, like complaining and that we're just,
it's
like,
not life or death to us, or
100%. So but I mean, I think
it definitely impacts our life in a big way, but it's not like oh boo hoo, everyone thinks I'm so smart. It's like not the worst thing ever. But it does impact our lives in ways that are kind of bad. So just putting that out there.
I think it's a lot of, I mean, I think everyone, we talk about being gifted so much in these episodes because like it's part of our life, but, and it's, I don't want to think it's all, it's definitely not all bad 100%, but there's parts of it. And, you know, I think it would be amiss of us to start a podcast where we talk about our student lives and not talk about gifted. So here we are, the two-parter.
All right. So let's hit it off with the little sexy academic / gifted pressure. So
where do we start?
Where do we begin to unpack this?
I think we can unpack it from like, you know, like the origins of gifted, you know, when you're in grade four and grade three, sorry. When you're in grade three and they bring you down one by one to that little room.
And, never got that.
You didn't get that? Okay.
Same, I didn't get that either.
I did mine in the middle of winter when, you know, right after a heavy snowfall, I got called over the PA during recess. There was so much snow outside. I did not want to go
outside.
Were
you in a porta pack? Not a portable pack. Pack is a washroom.
I think I got called down to like the principal's office or something like that, and I had to go to the test, and I was so annoyed because there was so much snow outside and I couldn't play it. But anyways.
Dude, I thought
you meant that you were in a portable, and it was like it was so cold outside you had to lunge over in the
So basically, sorry, continue, Kayla.
No, it's okay. You can go.
I was like that testing, like it was weird, dude. I remember only fragments of it. Like I got called to this little back room. Like I've never been in this room. Like I go through like the staff room, go through the back room, and like I'm sitting here, and like. There's like blocks in front of me and there's like different papers. And like, okay, if you've watched The Promised Neverland, it's like the test.
Oh my goodness.
It's like the test.
You're not about to compare gifted to a show about eating children.
I'm not. I'm just saying. It was the test that children had, similar. Correlation? I don't know. Anyway.
You're still here.
I'm still here. Still yet. I have yet to be eaten. Yes. It was really creepy. I was so nervous. And then, like, I don't know, everyone got called one by one. And it was, like, it was so, like, I don't know. It felt like I was in, like, a TV show where they're, like, judging my mental. They're taking notes. Everything. It was very, very scary.
You did yours as, like, an outside place, right?
Yeah. We were both private kids.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We probably did not go to the same one. But the one I went to, there was, like... Okay, they had like a sand pit, like a sand pit inside the testing room.
Where did you go?
I don't know.
Do you remember where?
No,
because I was at Box.
Oh, I don't know where I went, but there was a little sandbox, sand pit type thing, and then they were like, "All right, let's take a break. So just go play in the sandbox." But then I ended up spending an hour playing the sandbox, and I think, and instead of doing the gifted test, and then I went back and did it, and I think that was, I think it's really funny, like, that's a real kicker, like, instead of doing the gifted test, I freaking sat there and played in a sandbox with little toy dinosaurs for, like, an hour, like, if that's not, like, indicative of, like, like, imagine you're bringing a kid to do a gifted test, and then they just spend, like, the entire time playing in your sandbox.
Oh.
And then you're like, okay, now do this worksheet, and then they're like, okay, they get up, they do it, and then they go back.
So did you guys know that it was a gifted test?
No. Not at all.
I'm not
okay,
sure.
Okay, because I did. Yet. So, okay, I'm not like the other kids. I did mine in the fifth grade. Because I was moving schools, and my parents wanted to put me in public school. And really funny side tangent, they tried to put me in public school in the first grade, and that lasted all about 2 weeks before I almost lost my mind. That's a different story for another time. But my parents wanted to test me for gifted, so I went to a private psychologist, and I had to do two separate sessions with them to test, like, very similar tests, probably. Like, we had the blocks, we had the worksheets, and all that stuff, but it was one-on-one, and I knew that it was a gifted test. So I, at the time, because, like, to me, as a 10-year-old or 9-year-old, gifted is like, you're smart. And coming out of the private school environment, I was like, I'm smart. I got 99 on my math speed drills the other day. Like, so smart. So I think that definitely, like, in a way, I was really like, this was a bit of an ego stroke for me, because I know when I got the results back and they were saying, like, oh, your mathematics and your reading, like levels are so much, like, higher than the average student. Like, there's so much more this than the average student. Like, that really, like, drove it home. Like, I was like, yes, I'm smart. And then I went into gifted and almost, like, flunked fifth grade. And I realized, not really that smart. So that's my starting of the story of my academic turmoil in the gifted program. Because it's really a lot more than just how well you can read and how many math problems you can solve in 60 seconds. But...
Mm-hmm. Also, there were, like, some pretty, like, super crazy smart kids in our, like, in our grade.
And oh, yeah.
I think every single gifted school had at least one kid in, like, grade 5 or 6 doing, like, university-level math, like, super easily.
Yeah.
There's always that one kid that, like, could just, like, oh, my gosh, that kid in our class is going to MIT or something. Like, he's crazy.
Yeah, no, because when you think about that now as, like, a 12th grader, you think about the math that we did, like, in grade 12, and you think about the math that... that they would have been doing math at higher levels than our grade 12 math in fifth grade. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy.
Like, it was...
Like, you don't even know how to, like...
And we thought that was normal. That's the other... the kicker. It's like, you thought that was the normal.
Mm-hmm. Like, in fifth grade, you thought you were supposed to be doing university-level math. You know, somebody else was doing it.
Yeah, like, obviously, like, maybe not university, like, because we knew that they were, like, a special case, but you should, like, you felt like you should be doing...
Like, eighth grade, even.
Mm-hmm. Like, you should be going, like, years above.
Like, my dad and my mom would go to Costco and they'd buy those books, like, you know, like the curriculum books.
Me too.
They'd buy, like, I was in grade 4 and they'd buy, like, grade 8 one, grade 9 one. They said, you have to do this, do an hour of this every day. I dreaded it. I never did it. I always looked at the answers.
Really?
I always looked at the coloring sheet. Always, I hated them. I didn't want to do them. And I just didn't do them. And then my parents got really, really mad at me. Actually, no. What do you guys have to say about that?
I think talking about how our family impacted, like, the way we were in gifted, kind of, like, is a lot too. Like,
I want to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
especially because I was just gonna say that because I know me and Elman both come from, like, we're, like, first gen immigrants. Like, our parents are both, like, immigrants and they immigrated here. And I think a lot of gifted students a lot of the gifted kids I know are in the same boat. And I think
Maddie and I are the opposite.
Yeah.
But I think there's, like, within, like, immigrant families, there's, like, a lot of pressure to be really smart and be grades ahead and being gifted, like, not like the gifted standard of, like, being super smart, super ahead, being like grade 12 math and grade 3 whatever, you know what I mean, just because it's we moved here so you could do this, so you have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We would never have this chance if we stayed. So now that we're here, let's be smart. Let's be gifted. You know, there's, like, a lot of pressure to be good because, like, you have the chance to be good. So do it. Cause, like, it's not all direct. Yeah. Like, it's not all direct. What's up?
Finish your thought. Then I'll ask my question.
I was just going to say, like, part of it, I think from a younger age, when I was younger, a lot of it was from my parents, like, pushing me to be more disciplined in, like, schoolwork and stuff like that, because it's, like, they, like, as a kid, they didn't have, like, all these chances. And I think as mm-hmm. I grew up, I kind of understood that more. But then it became mm-hmm. more, like, pressure within, like, from myself to do good. Because, like, oh, how can you do bad when your parents moved all the way here for you? How can you do bad when your parents, like, your parents didn't get this chance to do this? Your parents literally moved across the country, to, like, across the world to do this for you. And you're doing bad? Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to get a bad mark on your test? After all the things your parents did, like, what's wrong with you? And then it's like at this point, my parents aren't even the ones putting pressure on me, because they know that I'm like, they know that I care, they know that I'm disciplined, they know that I can do my work. Mm-hmm. But now it's like me, like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But it starts off, are you doing it for your parents or for yourself?
Yeah, this might be a weird question, but I thought about this the other day, because I have a really weird experience with parents and grades. Because on one hand, like, I was adopted, so my mom's a first gen and my dad's an immigrant, but they're both, like, white. They just came from, like, different parts of the world where there are white people. and my parents were never, like, my dad didn't go to university, my mom didn't finish university, so they didn't have the same, like, I guess, expectations. They just wanted me to try and do well in school, which, like, I love them for that. Like, I didn't really feel that same pressure, but my external pressure, okay, this is, did you ever have teachers that would talk about, like, kids they heard about, specifically in China, who, like, could do really good math, yeah. and then they kind of expected you to be able to do really good math because you were also Chinese? Like, I had a teacher, I don't remember who it was, I had a teacher once ask me, because, like, I talk about being adopted a lot just because that's a big part of who I am. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was, you know, adopted from China. And keep in mind, I came to Canada as, like, a one-year-old baby. So it's not like I experienced anything in China beyond just, like, sleeping. And they were like, oh, so can you do, like, this math? And I was like, no, I can't. I'm not really that good at math. And like, but the kids in China, they can do all the math in their head. And then you're gifted. So, like, you can do it too. And that was just a really peculiar phenomenon. And I wanted to know, did you guys ever have something like that where they kind of, like, not only from gifted, but, like, also from, like, your race.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Like,
oh. Dude, as a white, like, man, I gotta say no. But
I don't mean to exclude you, but I just
I know in certain Asian countries, like, academics are, like, the only thing that matters, basically. Academics and money, of course, but, like, academics will lead you to money, because, like, I know in certain countries, there are, like, tests that you do right after high school, and that score mm-hmm. of that singular test decides whether or not you make it in life. Like, if you get a low score on that, you're not making it in life anywhere. If you get a good mm-hmm. score, you can get a nice job, you can do whatever you want. And
it's also, you can continue.
And no worries. It was just that in of itself. I know that they have similar things in India, and my parents. And on the news, like, Indian news that, like, my parents, grandparents watch, you know, they'll see, like, these really, really smart people, like, oh, like, got perfect on the test, and, like, fixed the question, changed it, boom, fixed the teacher. Insane. Nah, not like that. That's most of the lighthearted.
Give, but, like, the kids who teach the teacher.
No, but, like, really, really smart kids who are really, really good, and who are, like, developing these different things at such a young age, and they look at me like,
mm-hmm. It's also, like, your next important to point out that, like, when you hear about, like, these crazy Chinese school, crazy Chinese smart kids, right? It's important to, like, note that the only reason you're hearing about it is because it's crazy. Like, there's, like, hundreds and thousands of schools in China, and there's a reason you're only hearing about the smart ones, because you don't live in China. You live in, like, North America or whatever. Obviously, you're not hearing about every single school. So you're hearing about, like, the best of the best. And it's the same in China. Like, they hear about, like, the best of the best in America. Like, like Harvard and shit like that, and Harvard and universities like that. Like, they don't hear about, like, like, random universities that don't have, like, that big wow factor.
State universities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's the same. It's, like, the same. I don't know. You don't hear about average Chinese schools. Yeah. You only hear about the best. So it's like, take everything you hear with a grain of salt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But back on the point of family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But back on the point of family pressure, and I don't know, maybe Maddie can speak to this as well, because, like, I don't think either of our parents were big, like, pushers or pressures on ourselves. I would guess to say it was a lot of, like, self-pressure.
Yeah, no. I was very lucky that, to my parents, a B was good enough. So, you know what, I never had to live up to standards, because I found it easy enough to like achieve that. I didn't have to put in too much work to find that, and I appreciate that. I didn't have to have that pressure from somebody else, but it was the pressure that I put on myself that really drove me, which it got to be a lot. I don't even know where the pressure came from to begin with.
Do you think it's like, do you think it came from maybe like, because your dad, not to like dox your dad, but he works in like a really high position in like science, techie, you know what I mean? Seeing your dad's work in you?
Like, yeah, of course I always wanted to, you know, do well and impress my parents and all that. And yeah, of course I wanted to kind of follow in his footsteps like ever from a very young age. I think the only time that they really ever pressured me was my dad, grade five, gave me like cards for like your timetables. And I cried over that because he would, you know, drill it into my brain. Timetables, but that was like the only ever. That was like the only ever time that I got like
doing math with your parents.
Dude, that's terrible, bro. Oh my goodness.
But yeah,
I never in my life do math with. I never asked my parents for help with homework. I think I did that once, and it just ended in tears. And I never again have asked my help.
Like I know, like when you're on the dinner table with your parents, and they're like, "Yeah, like, how are you getting it wrong with math?" And you're like, "I don't know."
And when they start framing math, you're crying, you're in tears. What is 5 divided by 3? You're in tears. Please help me, I don't know. Oh my goodness.
Like, yeah, or you start doing it. Okay, here's the thing. Here's another, okay, facet. And then we can go back to the original topic. My parents are older than most parents. So like their methods of doing math and things are very different to the methods that we do now. And I don't know if you guys have that experience. The one time I tried to ask my dad for help with math. I tried to pull out the method that we learned in school that day, and I felt pretty confident. And he's like, "Why are you doing it that way? That's not how you do math." And I was like, "That's how I was taught to do math." He's like, "No, you do it this way." And it's like, then everyone's in tears, everyone's upset.
Like your mom is looking from the like from like the stairs, just like looking at like the carnage is going down. Like, your sister's upstairs like laughing. Oh my goodness, that's just personal.
No, but I don't know if you know. Do you ever ask your like parents like a question? But since they don't like because English isn't their first language, and like they might have done things differently like in their home country. Do they ever have that like, what the heck does this mean? Like, why are you doing this? Like, back in my home, like back home, we don't do things like this. What is this weird thing?
Because I remember, because
my dad's like an engineering type guy, like I don't know, physics. Oh. And I was really bad at physics in grade 11. I remember him reading my stuff. He's like, "I don't even know what half this means. Where are you getting these words from?"
I don't know what it was about grade 11 physics, but my dad just could not read it as well. I don't know if they taught it different,
That was my mom. It took my dad
5 hours to go through some of my physics just because the way they were taught different. And I think we came down
completely different.
And I don't even know why.
Yeah.
My dad is super smart, but like some of the math that like, he's just like, "I don't know this."
Yeah, like if you just gave him the like blank numbers, then it's fine. But then you add like the random like delta P is flying over 7x.
What is the imaginary numbers for the plane of 5x times yz to the power of 4?
Yeah, but also at the same time, you have a ruptured spleen. What do you do now? Calculate y.
No, okay, but for my mom, she straight up like doesn't. Okay, this is not to like out my mom, but I don't think she cares. But like, I tried to. My mom was a pharmacy student at like a pretty good university when she was in university, and she loved like math, physics, chemistry, all that stuff. Like that was her jam. And I was like in high school, I was like, "I'm set, man. Like I got my mom." And I tried to ask her one day. She goes, "You do realize that the periodic table wasn't completed when I was in school. I don't know what you're talking about." And all of my hopes crumble. She's like, "They're straight up elements. I've never heard of these. What is like
germanium, Einstein, sure. She's like, Einsteinium."
How the newer elements, you can tell they ran out of names, so they just started plugging in random people.
Like random scientists.
Called,
yeah,
there's like, isn't there one called like California? Like,
they
gave up.
There's like uranium, like
okay, that's carbon. Been around.
Uranium's been around.
I'm talking about like the old cool ones, like carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, California.
Come good on. Old oxygen. Yeah, but anyways, back on the point of academic family, my pressure was 100% myself, but also the idea that, like, now I have this label of gifted stamped up on me. Now I have this label of gifted stamped on me. How do I live up to those expectations? And also a little bit of, like, everyone else seemed really stressed about their marks and their parents, and maybe I should be too, because they're stressed over marks that are higher than mine, so I should be even more stressed by that logic.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
In, I think in the gifted program, it's really easy to fall into the whole mindset of, like, not 100, not good enough. And then not realizing that your marks are completely fine, because it's, like... Because for us, the provincial standard, it's, like, you have to get above a certain mark. What's that percentage?
70 to 70.
I think it's 75. Yeah.
And, like,
oh, no.
for a lot of people... Like, marks within the 80s are really good. Like, those are fine marks. But when you're in, like, a gifted environment where it's, like, everyone's getting at least a 95, it's, like, that 75 provincial standard now becomes a 95. And it's, like, if you're getting below a 95, you're not, like, you're not, like, actually gifted. Or, like, not actually. You're
not even smart. Average.
Like, you're not average in class. Because it's, like, when you have kids that are literally only working towards high marks, it's hard to, like, remember, because it's, like, once again, it's been since, like, grade four. You've been with these kids since grade four. It's, like, hard to remember what it was like. Also, like, I feel like in elementary school, marks aren't really, like, you can't check your marks after every test you do. You can't, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, you gotta wait for the report cards. I don't remember any of my marks from, like, elementary school, because just because I had no idea, like, because you got them on your report cards, and that was it. And then, I could not care less. It was, like, whatever. But then,
if it was good, it was good. If it was bad, it was bad. It didn't really...
If it was bad, they would talk to you. If it was good, they would just be, like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, I remember going to high school, and it was, like, oh, my gosh, my marks are on my hands. And now everyone's like, oh, I got, like,
a 97. Yeah, I kind of wondered if that was a good idea.
Uh-huh. And people were like, oh, I got a 97. And I was like...
I got an 82.
Yeah, like,
I got a 67.
And it's also, like, weird, because it's, like, in the first year of high school, it's, like, immature grade 9 kids, right? Like, you have no social skills, especially, like, going back to, like, the last episode, they probably talked about how socially incapable gifted kids are, but, like, just casually people throwing their marks around, and then you're, like, oh my gosh, what does this say about me? Because if I'm not getting a 95, and this kid is upset they have a 95, is a 95 a bad mark? So am I doing worse than bad? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
the environment you get thrown in is not very nice, especially to those that, you know, overshare and probably shouldn't be, you know, sharing every, you know, little mini quiz they get. And then all of a sudden you're, you know, wondering, should I be there? Like, do I need to be getting this? Like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It's a weird dynamic.
I think part of it, because we talk a lot about how, like, you say, oh, this person's getting a 95, so I should be getting a 95. And I think for some people, it's really hard to understand. Like, it's not just, like, you think you should be at their expectation. Your whole perception of reality and your perception of what is good and bad, like, changes. Like, you cannot conceive anything different. And it's really hard when you haven't experienced that, or you're not in someone else's head. Because I know that to some people, like, at least when I've tried to explain this to my mom, like, she kind of is like, well, just, you know, don't. like, it's, like, your marks are good. Like, you know, for yourself. And it's like, yeah, you know that logically. But when day in, day out, all you're seeing are these, like, extraordinary students, you really, you can't not be impacted by it. And, like, at least for me, I was never, like, a quote-unquote smart gifted kid. I realize now that, like, I'd had good marks as a kid, but at least, like, particularly for me, the transition between my old school and my gifted school, I really struggled with math that year. And, like, so not only was I was getting, like, 60s, I think, in all my tests. So getting that, and then being around kids who were getting, like, 95s and correcting the teacher and new trigonometry, like, that really took a toll on, like, my sense of, like, worth and, like, a capability or confidence. So it's more than just, like, oh, they're getting a high mark, I need to get a high mark. Like, it's...
Yeah. Like,
especially, since a young age, dude. Like, since, like that takes a toll on a kid. Like, since you have the letter grades, you have the A+ and the A-, like, it takes a toll on a kid. Like, having, like, every... Like, when you get a test back, at least for me, I get a test back, and the first thought that came to my mind was, how did this person do? How did this person do? How did this person do? And my only sense of pride would come from if I got a high mark.
Yeah. Because the gifted environment, like, it's pretty competitive. Like, it's like a bunch of kids who were told that they were the best, and now suddenly they're not the best because they're in a class with every other like kid that was told that they were the best.
The best.
Now they're all
exactly, literally.
Like marks are such a big indicator of like
gifted is like one big comparison almost. Like we're already the top, I don't know the stat off the top of my head, whatever percent of students, and then you further it based off of the marks that you get in class, and you get these, you know, people going around the class like, how'd you do, and you're like there's like almost like an unofficial ranking within a class because everybody knows how people 100%
is there, and it's by subject.
It's so weird.
That's the math kid, that's the English kid, that's the art kid.
And I don't even know where it came from, because like, okay, I do know where it came from, because everyone thinks that, like, I just want to say, like, you're told that you're the best, but you're not the best because you're necessarily smarter, but that's what you were told, right? Like, gifted is about your thinking process, but somehow it turned out to be, like, academic process, like, academic performance. And it's like, it is, like, you know who the math kid is, you know who the science kid is, and it's not healthy to do that to yourself.
Especially when you're not, like, when you excel at anything. Like, I know for myself, I didn't really excel at anything. I wasn't really the best at math. I wasn't the best at English. I wasn't the best at... I can't even speak. I'm not the best at speaking as well. I wasn't the best at art, right? Honestly, I was just, like, decent, right? And it's just, like, when everyone's like, oh, wow, oh, yeah, you're, like, oh, we know, for example, like, Ella, we know I was going to get a great mark on this because it's an art project. I was so good at art. We know Kayla's going to get a great mark on this because this is a math, and Kayla's so good at math. Like, for example. But, like, you know, you go into every single day with uncertainty. And, like, it's very, very tough.
One weird thing about, like, being known as a certain kid is when they're a project... Okay, not to be like, I'm a graphic designer, but, like, I know that I can... Like, I can do my part in projects that have, like, graphic aspects. Like,
you took pride in that,
Yeah, like, for some... But then it's like, oh, well, Ella's my partner, so I guess we can just, in our group, so we can just leave everything up to Ella to do this one part. Or, like, if someone was, like, the math kid, they'd be doing the math write-up. Mm-hmm. If someone was, like, you know what I mean? So I remember, like, a lot of... It's like, you know that everyone else in your group kind of cares about your mark, so then you have this weird, like, because pressure, I guess. Like, you want to do well because you don't want to be seen, A, as a dumb kid, because, like, how do you mess up a project like that? And also, like, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm never doing a project with Ella ever again. She got us a 90 on it, or, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so... It's
there's, like competition in the group.
Group projects are a whole other breed of just bad sometimes.
Like, do you remember, like... Okay, I think the worst thing to do to a bunch of kids who are constantly competing to prove that they deserve to be in the gifted program is have them write up who did what on a project.
Because I remember
doing group projects, and like how on the day you would present, like your group members would be talking to other group members, and you'd be like, yeah, I did A, B, and C, but like this person, they only did like A. But like, I'd like, you know, like it's so, you were constantly like, I guess... Because you could not, like, be a group. You had to, I don't know, it was a really, really weird thing. And, like I remember doing that and, like, thinking, like, you kind of, like, you get that label and you kind of take pride in that label a little bit because you're, like, I don't know, you feel validated. It's, like, I know when we do group projects, I was really mean in group projects, and I'm really sorry to the people in my groups for some group projects because I was kind of mean, especially in grade 9. But, like, there was definitely a part of me that took, like, a little bit of pride in, like, I feel like I got this, like, we did this, like, look at what, like, I did, you know?
Mm-hmm. I want to, like, add on to that. Like, Kayla, you brought up a good point that I just said, like, I also was mean. I want to just quickly say, at least for myself, like, I'm critiquing how toxic the environment was, but I, too, kind of fed that environment.
Exactly,
yeah.
I,
of course.
Like, I think... But with that being said, I don't think there is purpose to that. I think it's kind of like, you know, if you get put into an environment, you get put into a system, you either, of course, especially at a young age, you don't know any better, you fall into the system and you play that system.
Exactly.
And you are part of the toxicity. But of course, I don't think you can blame a single person about that, like, besides the system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't blame anyone else in Gifted for what I felt, because they were feeling the exact same.
Yeah.
Or something similar, at least. So, like, when I did, yeah.
And most of us have, like, broken out of the cycle of, like, this, most of us have, like, gotten rid of this mindset. I think especially this year, because, we're like, maturing, we're older, we know that, like, marks aren't everything. B, I think being online, I think, kind of helped a little bit, because it's, like, nothing really matters anymore, you know what I mean? Especially, like,
in a really weird way. Yeah.
Like, the last few months, everyone's gotten their, like, acceptance and everything. It's, like, you can see that things don't matter anymore. Like, you did all of that, and we didn't really come, you know what I mean?
You could see everybody just deflate. Like, people
going around, like, me on my physics test. I could not care less. I'm sorry. I love my physics class. I'm sorry.
It's interesting because now that a lot of us are, like, we're leaving high school, we're not going to be in this environment anymore. And, like, I guess technically for us, Grifted ended in grade 10, and we've had the chance, and I think grade 11 and 12, to reflect a little bit more. Because it's like, yes, you're still in the same class as a lot of these people, but I think it's like a lot of it is maturing and understanding that marks aren't everything. Because then you get hit with like a reality check. It's like around the 16 year, like once you like around when you're 16, you kind of get hit with the stop being so annoying and just like
that grade 11 year when you finally start taking more control, you get more electives, you figure out what you want to do later. Mm-hmm. You get hit with this kind of like reality check that whatever word you want to insert there, that, you know, you need to start taking control of different things and kind of being a better person than maybe you were in Gifted.
Mm-hmm. But there are definitely some kids that have not broken this mindset. I'm rooting for them. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I think there are stages of reality checks. Everyone goes through them at different times. I think one is like when you're like going from grade 10 to 11 or 11 to 12, that's like one of the big reality checkpoints. And then another one I think would be in university. Like, I think that would be a really big one. Like entering the workforce, you know what I mean? Like, those are the three stops. Also, if you miss the last one, then you're done. But, like,
good luck.
I think, like, okay. With that being said, I do think within, at least I know myself, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but as much as I know consciously that I am no longer super mark-driven, it's still, there are still traces of it.
It's a work in progress.
I don't want to come off as I'm completely fixed, because I know I'm not. I know because, like, still to this day, I talked about like how they got a 70 in physics, so that's okay, whatever. But like overall, I know like a lot of my self-worth is based on marks.
Yeah.
And that is a very toxic thing. Of course, I'm getting better. Of course. But I know a big part of my life is marks. And I know first semester when these marks were still counting to your university.
Yeah.
I was very, very, okay, that's, of course, it's not to say like right when marks stopped, I stopped caring. Of course, it's not to say that. I still tried.
There's a lot of conditionals you have to meet.
Yeah.
You can start feeling.
But like, when I, like, first semester, we had a biology, it was a project, for example. It was supposed to be an easy 100. Everyone got 100. You basically had to just, like, not everyone, of course. But, like, you have to, like, basically, like, write out, like, the Krebs cycle and glycolysis. And then, like, the electron transfer. I got a 95. I got 0.5 mark off. I got a 95, and that was probably one of the worst days of that semester for me. Because everyone was talking about how they got 100, and I got a 95. And 95 is a good mark, dude. It was a good mark. But I spent the whole time thinking I was less than everyone else, and I was worthless, and that I was gonna die alone. And I literally, I thought I was gonna die alone and never and fail out of university. And I was going to never get into med school, and I was gonna die by 25 and be alone.
Not, and that's a genuine, that's a genuine feeling, though.
Yeah.
Like, not being like,
right? Like, I know it sounds dramatic, but
no, I promise you, I felt every single thing I just said. I felt it all, like, in the span of 3 hours. How? I got a 95, man.
Sorry, go, Ella.
It sounds like really dramatic because it's like, oh, it's a 95, yeah. Like that's still a good mark. But like, imagine everyone else in your class getting an even higher mark and you're getting the lowest one. Do you know what I mean? Like, in group projects when it's like individual marks and then your group gets the lowest one. It's like, do you know what I mean? Because you still get a mark. It's like, but why couldn't I get the same mark as them? Like, how come
they didn't
get 98 and I got a 96? Like, what is not even that. Like, how are they getting like a 97 and I'm getting like a 92? Because I remember I got that in a mark. That's like a very like real thing that I got on a group project or something. I'm like, what is it? Well, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, how am I not as good as everyone else? Because even if my 92 is like a good mark, it's raising my mark. It's like really high. Maybe it might be better than like other groups' marks. But still, within my group, we did the exact same thing. We're not even, we had the same outline, we had the same guidelines, we had the same answers, but what is different from mine? Like, how am I not getting it? Like, how am I doing the exact same thing, but still getting lower? Like,
it ties back to, like, from a kid. Like, we talked about this. Like, of course, I don't think any of us want to be this dramatic about marks. No one wants to. Mm-hmm. No one wants marks to be the only thing in their life, but it's the system, dude. I think especially like as we were talking about earlier, when you're a kid, the first thing you do, you compare marks. You look, oh, I got an A+, oh, I got an A-. And that comparison and that in your head, you're like, I was scared to go home and show my parents what mark I had. I got an A- on a French thing in grade 5. I remember taking a pen, putting a line through that minus and making a plus to show my mom. I used to do that so often just so I could feel in my head like I am good enough. It was a singular line that determined my worth in grade 5. That I think that, and that's not only me. I think there's a lot of different kids. It's so messed, dude. It's so messed, and that carries on to high school, and that carries on to this. How you know? We had a debate project in grade 10, and everyone else got such a high mark, and I got such a low mark because I kept on apologizing. Because I'd stutter, I'd say sorry, and I continued, and I got such a low mark, that note saying stop apologizing, and that killed me. Like, dude, it messed with me so much. It messes with a lot of kids so much.
I think on the topic of like reality checks, things like, and marks and how you view yourself, I think my experience with marks has been a little bit backwards in a sense, where because my reality check hit me a lot younger, I had a lot more time to sit with being the dumb gifted kid. Again, I'm using quotes. So I really let marks limit my potential. And like, I didn't feel confident in anything until like 11th grade, maybe. And even then, like, it was a real struggle. And I constantly told myself that like the expectations of like, oh, I need to be a 95 weren't even in my head, because I was so convinced that I could never even begin to approach those marks. Like, I was like, those are never even, like, I would say to myself every day, or not every day, sorry, every time we would do a test, I was like, if I can even get, like, an 80, like, if I can get an 80 on this, I'll be happy. And, like, to me, that was all I could achieve. And that limited my confidence and my potential in classes so much. And you can see and I don't want to use marks as a meter for this, but, like, you can see in my marks when I started to gain more confidence in myself and as I started to detach, like, the number from my own capabilities. Like, I did better in school because I didn't allow those pressures of like, oh, I'm never going to be even anywhere near as good as them. So like, I should just be happy with like what I have. Right. And I think that was really toxic of me, because then when I would get marks back, I would be like, yeah, this is all I can do. And then I would get really, really annoyed when I would hear other people complain about their marks. Cause I would be like, in my head, I was like, you're lucky enough to even be able to get those marks. Why are you even complaining? You know, and that's not good. So,
No, I agree. Like the whole, like, you're lucky enough to get this 7 mark. Like, no, like, it's, no, I agree with you. That's very,
Cause like, I kind of feel like I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum with that. I was lucky enough to be born with the ability that if I can read something, I can comprehend it pretty well. And so, my study habits consist of me reading worksheets the day or a couple days before the test and I would still come out with marks. And I feel like I don't deserve those marks because, you know what? I'm surrounded by people that spend night in, night out, like 12-hour days just in front of work and do like textbooks and like constantly doing work problems. And I'm just sitting here getting like really good marks for, I'm not even like, sometimes I sit in front of a worksheet for a couple hours before a test and I'd be perfectly fine. And it's really weird. It's just, I'd like almost feel like I don't deserve the marks because I'm not putting the effort in, even though like I'm kind of coming around to the fact that, you know, maybe I've just found out what works for me. It's just really weird. Like, I feel like other people should like be doing better than me because of the work put in. And it's this really, I don't know how to describe it. It's just off-putting that I can do so well. Yeah, imposter syndrome, essentially, where I'm not doing anything but still doing well, which is, yeah, I don't know. It's really weird.
On the topic of, like, I guess, tests and stuff, I kind of want to ask, like, do you ever feel really underprepared for a test that instead of studying, you kind of start thinking of ways you can avoid the test or skip the test because it's, like, you're so nervous and you're so scared to potentially get a bad mark that you don't even want to do it anymore?
100%.
I think I'm similar in with projects, not tests. I'll have an essay due. Instead of doing the essay, I'll draft up an email to ask for an extension. Instead of spending the time doing the essay, I'll draft up an email. Yeah. And there are situations where I do need an extension and the email is important, but still it's similar.
I remember a few weeks ago when I got my vaccine, I kind of got hit hard by it, like, to be honest.
You were out for a couple of days, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a physics test, after the weekend. But I got mine on, I think a Thursday or a Friday, and I had the weekend to study for my physics test. And then I had my physics test on, Monday, Tuesday or something, or, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I couldn't study at all. And I literally spent hours in bed, because I earlier we talked about how we kind of matured, but this is still sometimes it still gets you. I was in bed crying because I couldn't study for my test because I was okay, if I don't study, I'm gonna get a bad mark, and I can't get a bad mark because it's what do I not to be I've never gotten a bad mark before because I have. If we talk about grade 10 math, I think that was a really rough year for a lot of people.
Especially yeah.
Oh my goodness, when you get started.
We can come back there. We can come back to that.
But I just there are times where it's I can't do well in this test, so what am I gonna do? I've been okay, if I have a nosebleed in the middle of the test, I could probably not do it. I'm okay, so how do I get a nosebleed in the middle of the test? Things like that, really crazy, stupid things like that, that I genuinely considered because I couldn't do my, because I was worried I was not gonna get a good mark. Fair to point out that a lot of the times I don't feel confident in a test, I should be confident, you know what I mean? There are times where I can pull
out
the material, I know the material, it gets memorized in my head, but I'm I'm convinced that I can't do good because how could someone like me do good even though I have in the past? I don't know. It's a lot of weird people telling you you're good but not good, you know? It's you never know if you're good or not because you don't even know what good means anymore because
I don't think I did the thing where I was how can I escape it, but I definitely I know I say I definitely have matured, but I definitely marks and proving myself is still a big part. And for me, it's a lot of I need to know that I did everything in my possible capabilities to prepare for this so that when I get that mark back, I don't have any regrets. And that can be good in the sense that I know that I put my effort in, blah, 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 happy go lucky rainbows and all that jazz. But in another way, I will push myself so hard to the point where when I was studying for the AP bio exam, I did not need to go through that 1300 page textbook, but I did need to go through that 1300 page textbook. And I will get to the point where instead of thinking about all the ways I can get out of doing it, I will think about all of the things I'm going to tell people when I don't do good, or all of the reasons explaining why I didn't get that mark, or all of the, I'll start calculate, I will be in the middle of a test. Have you ever been in the middle of a test?
Yeah.
And you're on the last couple questions and you pull out your calculator and you're okay, if I don't get this question right, where can I sacrifice my marks? I will leave a test. I left every single biology test we did this semester with an idea in my head of what mark I was going to get so I could start preparing myself and being I got this because I didn't do, I knew my mark before we even got it back. Or, like, I thought I knew my mark before I even got it back because I needed to be able to tell people why I didn't do what they thought I was going to do. Because like, I put in all this effort. And I might be happy with the mark, but other people would thought I was supposed to do better. So I had to satisfy them now with these explanations of why I didn't do as good as they thought I was going to do.
I remember when I was in grade 11, I got, like, the flu for, like, 2 months. Or I was out for 2 months. But I was, instead of being, like, upset that I was missing school, I was like, oh, thank God, because if I go back and I do bad on the test, there is a reason why. Like, I did bad on a test, it's because I had the flu for 2 months. It wasn't because I was stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, and there'd be nights where, this is kind of, like, I guess I have 2 points. Like, me being thankful I had the flu so I could have a reason why I was dumb. But I wasn't even dumb. Like, that was just the way I was thinking back then. Another one was be, like, I think I fast-tracked chemistry, so I was, like, I was like 15 doing, you know, like, so I felt like I had a lot to catch up on when technically I didn't, because I knew the same prior content as everyone else, because I had science first semester, so it wasn't like I was behind, so I was like perfectly fine, but I was convinced that I had to do what everyone else was doing, but like two times more, just because I was so behind. But I wasn't even behind. I don't know what was wrong with me, but I would pull all-nighters for tests. Like, I would study for like 3 days straight. And, like, I don't know, like, for when I had chemistry tests, I would literally not sleep the night before. I would take a nap after school and then just go for, like, 12 hours straight. Yeah. Because I was so worried that I wasn't going to do good. Like, I was going to miss something. And I did perfectly fine on all the tests. And, like, if I didn't stay up for 12 hours, I probably would have done fine, like, the same or even better because I had sleep. But it was, like, I was so worried that I wasn't going to do good. Like, do good, like... like, do good to, like, my messed up standards back, that I would literally sacrifice so much just so I could study. But then it's, like, when you do that, I say this, like, I study 20%, but also at the same time, I'm, like, there are times where I just cannot study. Like, there'll be times where I'm stuck and I cannot bring myself to study. I'm just, like, giving up all hope because it's, like, if it's so late already, what are you going to learn? But then it's, we're, like, crap, I'm actually going to fail this test. And then you drag yourself. You're like cramming and you're like in tears because you're like, I can't believe I'm so stupid. I can't believe I did that to myself. I can't believe I lied in bed for so long. And now look what you've done. You're going to do so bad on this test. And it's like a constant cycle, you know?
Yeah.
Like studying.
And you have to spend every waking moment of your life studying.
Yeah. Like that. If you don't study, you're wasting time.
Yeah.
It's it's so weird because it's like, this is like a pretty normal gifted thing for people to do. I know people that pull all nighters and like study tests like this. I know people that like will not take, like they'll know all the content and not be confident because they're so scared of like underperforming,
not
that,
doing well.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
and, like, yeah. It's like, this is so toxic. This is really bad. Like, everyone.
Yeah, because then you start comparing to other people. Then you start, like, I know they talked about this in the last episode, but like, then you start going, like, I didn't sleep at all last night. Like,
oh my goodness.
Blah, 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 blah. Like, dude. Blah, 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 blah.
And it's like, I feel like everyone knows it's toxic. I think all the gifted kids, I feel like if we were all to like be in a room, we actually were in a room together once.
Yeah. We had one time we all cried after a test or something.
So we had therapy. Group therapy.
There were three questions and people couldn't do two of them. Or something, or like
it so was
like
everyone started crying. Yeah. It was
our first experience. Like, because the style of the test was something you couldn't prepare for, because they were called like thinking questions. So they were their questions based off of the knowledge we already had, but we didn't know necessarily like how the question was going to be phrased. And for a lot of us, that was like terrifying. And I think for me, that was like a big reality check of I realized like this is how much I'm like. Putting my whole personhood on a number on a page. Like, I am letting this number on a page determine my personhood. And, like, our whole gifted class, like, collectively... Well, not whole. I don't want to speak for everyone. But, like, a large majority of our gifted class could not handle it. And the teachers were genuinely, like... The next day, they sat us down in the science classroom in a circle. And they, like, had articles to talk to us. And, like, they literally were like, guys... Your marks don't mean who you are as a person. And I remember thinking that was a really, it's like, you say that, but like you do all this stuff. Like, I remember thinking like, that was so stupid, but they were genuinely like, thank you to them.
Because I think that like a lot of gifted teachers or teachers that have a lot of experience with gifted kids, sometimes are kind of hypocritical in the sense where it's like, because you know that gifted kids, like I think as every single gifted teacher knows that gifted kids center a lot of their worth around their marks. And they're like, yeah. Guys, marks don't matter, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll go around and say, oh, I can tell that you don't try because your mark was bad. You know what I mean? Like they'll say things that like contradict each other. It's like, okay, my worth isn't surrounded by my mark. It's based on how hard I tried or how much effort I put into it. But you're telling me that I didn't put enough effort because I got a bad mark.
Yeah, like the teachers that say, oh, you didn't get a bad mark, study more. Go now.
Yeah, like,
study. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? I gave you this. Why, like,
it's weird that certain, like, no, I'm not like saying they're bad teachers. I just think it's interesting that the teachers can also contribute to the environment because they'll tell you one day that your mark doesn't determine your worth, but then treat you differently based on your mark in the class or like judge you differently. One of my teachers was only nice to me during the biology unit in grade 10 because that was the only unit I did good on. But then afterwards it was back to like the whole, yeah, you don't try. But like, you know, I tried because I did well in the bio unit. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I only tried during the unit I did good on, but I don't try on the units I do bad on because I don't know. Like, it just solidifies the idea that
indicators.
And you know what? I didn't even do bad in that class. I did not even do bad in that class. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think maybe that's why the whole, like, we call it the therapy session, kind of rubbed me the wrong way is because teachers say things offhandedly sometimes, and students do this too. Like, we say things offhandedly because that's the, students more because that's the environment we're put in. Teachers, I don't really know, but I know that they don't necessarily mean anything by it, but like, not to like say anything, but like you kind of got to handle gifted kids with care.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say like we're special or we need special treatment, but like it's really like you'll say one thing and that will stick with that kid for the rest of their life. Like they will win a Nobel Peace Prize, but they will still have the fact that they didn't feel good enough in your grade 7 geography class in their head. Like that is
I remember being told that I asked too many questions or not enough questions, and now I don't know how many questions to ask because I don't know what the appropriate amount of questions is. Because it's like, if you have a question, just ask. But then certain questions are not okay to ask. Like, oh, you should already know this, but like, okay, so you're just not going to tell me now? Like,
there are no dumb questions, but
except for
except for the one that you just said. No dumb questions.
Yeah. Except for that one.
I've been teaching for 25 years.
Like, I don't know, it's, I think it's weird because there's also some pressure from teachers, but I don't even think they realize they put that pressure on you. It's just like, they can make like one, like really, really small offhand and not even meaning anything comment about a mark. And then it's like, oh, that's like sending you into a spiral. And now you're like having a breakdown because you think that they think your mark is bad. And now you're like stressed because you're like, you want to prove to them that you're smart, but they know you're smart. Except they don't know you're smart because you're not doing well in the test. Except you are doing well in the test. Except you're not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's
And but why not? I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just want to say something really quick. I think like it ends up like you really end up kind of limiting your own. You start doubting yourself in a lot of ways. Like I say Max mentioned this in the last episode. How in class I will like say like, oh, can you explain that to me? Like you would explain it to a 5-year-old. And it's a little bit funny, and I don't really mind, like, saying it, but I catch myself more and more now, and I'm trying not to do it, where I, like, will start off the conversation making it known that I am not as smart as everyone else, or, like, making it so that, like, I'm using quotes here, but, like, I'm coming off dumber than everyone else, so that I said it first, you don't have to say it.
Oh, this is
and
this
because is kind of the fact that I got, like, an 82, like...
I think this might tie into social a little bit too, but there, you know how sometimes when you talk about your marks, you like you don't want to come off as you're bragging, so you kind of like play it off as like nothing. Or like it's like in order to be humble and gifted, you have to act like you're stupid. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like humble to be dumb, but it's like I called myself dumb a lot just because I didn't want to come across as if I did mess up, it wouldn't be like you know, like, so no one has like this high expectation of me to like perform well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here doing my work. I don't have to get good marks, blah blah blah. But then as I got older, it kind of plays into the way that people view you, because they don't even know your marks, but because you call yourself dumb so much, they just assume you're not getting good marks. Like, I've had people ask me for my marks. I've told them my marks. I'm like, really, you have this mark? And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And then, like, it's like when you're like, a lot of gifted kids dumb themselves down to be like, down, like, seem more down to earth. Like, oh yeah, I'm just like an ordinary kid, but they're getting like 97s. You know what I mean? And then it also adds to the culture of like, oh, a 97 is a bad mark because this kid says they're dumb, but they're getting a 97. So what would a smart kid get? You know what I mean?
But they also want someone to, because you say, oh, I got a 97, that's a bad mark, but you want someone to say, no, that's a really good mark.
You
dumb yourself down, but you want people to think you're smart.
Yeah, like, you want someone to correct you. You're like, no, you're so smart, because, like,
it boosts your ego.
I don't know.
It fuels, dude. It fueled me. Oh, it's my goodness. Bro, it fueled my ego. I was so toxic in it. Like looking back at it, like, I think we all were toxic, but we all had such high, oh, I know. I had such a big ego, which needed to be pleased. It needed to be stroked and needed to be complimented. Dude, my ego, of course, my ego is laced with self-deprecation. My ego, was so flawed. It was like the opposite of an ego, but still had the traits of an ego. I hated myself because I wasn't good. I knew I was the worst at everything, but I still wanted to be complimented. I still wanted to be like, I still wanted to get a high mark. I still wanted to, like, to get such a superficial number, even though I knew I was terrible. Mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't deserving of the mark, but I still wanted my mom to be like, good job, Lemon. I'm proud of you. I still wanted all that, like that ego stroking.
Yeah.
Even though I had none of it.
That's like gifted. I don't, like, you don't really get a lot of praise for being smart as a gifted kid, because, like, once again, it's like expected. No. Like, or like, because if you get a 93, but people are getting 97s, then no one's telling you you're smart. So, like, I don't know. It almost feels validating and comforting when someone says that you're smart or you did good, because you never hear it. Like, if. Mm-hmm. Like, if I wasn't in the gifted program and I got, like, a 93, that would be, like, because I've been in, like, non-gifted classes or, like, non-gifted-filled student classes. And, like, it feels good to finally be recognized as smart after basing your entire identity around how smart you are and how many marks you are. It feels good to have someone finally notice that you're smart and being like, yeah, good job. You did so good. You tried so hard. Your work paid off. Look how well you did. Because you don't hear any of that in gifted. It's always like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you did fine, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those are so backhanded, like, really backhanded compliments.
Bro,
Of course you did fine.
You did so good for you. You did so good for you. Like that's such like, a good mark for you.
I just remember, like, trying so hard and you were like, oh, yeah, see, you were totally fine, whatever. But it's like, no, I wasn't. I'm only fine because, like, I wish you recognize that I put in work, and I wish you recognize that I, like, am smart. It's not just me getting a good mark. It's me learning the content. Mm. And I have gone, like, a very long time without ever being told that my worth as a mark, like, a mark-based student, like, that I was smart, that I did good, like, I did a good job. Because it's, like, everything gets tossed aside, especially as, like, an Asian girl too. Everything is like, when you're Asian gifted, that's like double whammy. It's like, like, you
and then also turn to being the girl.
Yeah, but then as a girl, also, it's weird because I don't. It's like if my three parts of my identity, I guess, if you were to say gifted and then girl and then Asian, there's like a Venn diagram. But it's like weird because I am expected to get a good mark because I'm Asian and I'm gifted, but then also I'm also a girl, so like I'm not getting the best marks because obviously an Asian gifted boy would be getting better marks than I would. Mm-hmm. But when I do better than an Asian gifted boy,
oh my gosh,
boy,
like
because it's really prominent in science classes, especially AP science classes, and it's odd because I can see the way different people trust my answers or trust like what mark they expect me to have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, I think, sorry, finish, go ahead.
I don't know. Like, it's just odd. Like, I don't want to drag Maddie into this either, but me and Matthew are like, and we have like the same courses. So it's like, yeah. you know, you have to double check my answers before they're right for someone else to
copy. Like, I would have to go through and make sure it was correct before, you know, Ella's work was okay, because like it's so weird that has to exist, or that exists in people's minds, that I don't know, like there has to be validation of somebody's work before it's right, even though like everybody knows it's right work.
I also don't want to stroke my own ego too much, because I had good marks like throughout high school. It's just odd that people don't think I have good mark. Like, they think I have a good mark, but they don't think I have a good mark.
They don't actually think. Yeah, it's it's okay. I like, it's really weird, because like, again, like, I have, this is gonna sound so terrible to anyone who's not in gifted, because all we're saying is, yeah, we have good marks, but we're still sad. But like, it's like, I crave so badly for someone to recognize that I have skills and like I am intelligent, because that's what I was told constantly as a child. But at the same time, the second anyone gives me that validation, it terrifies me. Like, I am so scared to send my work or my notes to anyone, because I could, like, I remember one time I sent my notes to someone, and then like one of the someone else in our class was like, "Oh, you made a mistake in your notes." I deleted the whole thing. I like made sure no one could see it, and I like would not send my notes to anyone, because yeah, like, I am so like that intersectionality between like gifted girl and Asian, where if you're gifted, you're expected to be better than the non-gifteds, and I say that with heavy quotations. You're expected to be better than the non-gifteds. As an Asian, you're supposed to be better than, like, I don't know, you're supposed to be good for an Asian. But as a girl, you're not supposed to be as good as any of the Asians or any of the other gifted boys. So it's a really weird, like, where people's trust in, I think it's, yeah, you know what, it's trust in your intelligence. Like, people's trust in my intelligence always felt very fickle to me. Where, like, if I made one mistake, people would no longer trust that I was smart, and I had to rebuild that trust in my own intelligence. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know what's really funny? Like, sharing notes and all that, I'm not going to lie, I use Ella's notes a lot through this year, just because, you know, she does a really good job with them, and I felt, you know, I could learn from that. And it's so funny when we come to a test day, and all of a sudden, Ella's kind of the one, you know, giving answers, and nobody trusts it, and then comes to me when I'm the one that's studying off of Ella's notes. And it's just weird roundabout where... Like,
how are you going to doubt me when you're literally using my notes for this?
Yes!
Test? Do you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, it annoys me so much when I hear this.
If you're going to, like, question my notes for knowledge, just write your own. Why are you using mine? If you are so smart, exactly, and you know so much more than me, you should have your own notes. I don't understand why.
It's
weird.
I hate it when people do that. Like, or like, when I would say, you'd send someone an assignment or something to like look at it, and then they would be like, "Oh, well, like, are you sure like the numbers are right for this lab?" I'd be like, "I don't know. I did it according to the thing. If you think it's wrong, why are you using my assignment? Like, why are you like not using? Sorry, not using. Like, why are you referencing it? Or like, you know?"
And like, these are really prominent. Okay. Because we have AP courses, because our gifted program ends in grade 10, and then we continue on into APs, and we can choose what classes and what level we want. And a lot of gifted kids do go into AP, because there's some like gifted to AP pipeline thing that we have, and a lot of this happens within like the AP classes. And it's like AP is like where the smart kids go, but if you don't do AP, it's like, what are you doing? And I've been in like U level classes, like I didn't get the chance to take pre-AP bio in grade 11. Because it conflicted my schedule. And the difference between like the two, like, because I've been in pre-AP classes before, but just the difference between like having a class with like no other gifted kids in versus like a class that's so like every single kid is a gifted kid for like two, it's so different. But it's also weird, because it's like you're learning the same content kind of in grade 11, because you only get tested on the curriculum content. You don't get tested on like the AP stuff. So it's like we're doing the same thing. Like, somehow my class wasn't as smart as the other class, where like what we were doing wasn't as good. Like there's like a whole mm-hmm. there's like a huge like thing where gifted kids will view AP classes as like so much better and like so much more worthy, and like all the kids in the gifted class are like mm-hmm. are in the AP classes are like so much smarter. And but like U level bio is like an easy course, right? Like U level, like, or you know what I mean, like just mm-hmm. like having this idea that if you're smart you should be taking AP, and if you're dumb you're taking U level, yeah. and that's why you're taking U level because you're dumb, you know what I mean?
I would hear you, do you guys remember the comments, especially around report card times? And thank goodness we don't ever get report cards again. I'm so excited to not have to talk about marks in uni. But when people would say like, oh, the course average for biology is so like low, why is it so low? And then people would be like, oh, it's not our class, it's like the other class. Or they would say yeah. like, oh, we're the ones holding up the average. Like, that is so terrible to say. Hmm. And but like to like again like back at this point, like are we to us that was just like we didn't mm-hmm. I don't want to say we didn't see anything wrong with it, but like it just didn't click in our heads.
Yeah, like I, a lot of people look down.
I can't explain
on,
like
yeah. I remember because I know there's some people in the gifted program that have like friends or siblings or cousins or just anyone they knew that weren't gifted, and they would constantly talk down to them. They'd like talk down about them, like they'd be like, oh yeah, they're so stupid, they're so dumb, blah blah blah. And like, but then once you get to know them, it's like they're smart kids. They're like, I know someone that's getting that like has like 100 in all like most of their courses, but they're the person that we know and gifted that knows them constantly talks about how stupid and dumb they are. But it's like they're not even dumb. They're just in a U-level class. They're just not in a gifted class because they don't want to be. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, or like you were shocked when you find out that a non-gifted person is smart. Like, that is tough.
Yeah.
I think, oh my God, it's everything is so circular. And what I mean by that is everything is so...
Yeah.
It's a cycle. Everything...
Yeah, like, everything ties back to each other. Like
everything ties back to being... old. Everything ties back to that initial test. Everything ties back to getting that score of your IQ and your parents being like, nice, good job, you're gifted, wow, go you. And then you get into that mm-hmm. class, and then everything seems fine in grade 4 or wherever, whenever you join, and then you know marks start coming out, and you start, and your parents are saying, hey, you know, you're gifted, you should be doing good. Your parents are telling their family friends, hey, my son's gifted, my daughter's gifted, they should be doing good. And then mm-hmm. everything is just, it's a snowball effect. And of mm-hmm. course, we don't want to come off saying that we are better than anyone else, because we cause a snowball and we add to the snowball.
Exactly.
Everything is just so cyclical, and everything yeah. is so, it dude, there's yeah. this can go on. This can go on yeah. to like I could talk. I could relate the gilded part to capitalism. Yeah. I'm not going to, like, but I could.
It's like when you're raised gifted and like you're in the gifted program for so long, you get really insecure because you constantly feel like you're never good enough. But there's always somebody that you're striving to be. Like there's always someone in your class that's getting better marks than you, and like jealousy is a green eyed monster. You know what I mean? And you start taking it out on like. You're so insecure that you have to bring other people down with you. I think that's a really big part mm-hmm. of being gifted. Like, you get a bad mark, you got to bring everyone else down with you. You don't get the mark you wanted, everyone else, like, they're going
yeah, like, everyone else has to suffer, too. Like I woke up to...
Like, it's toxic. It's because people are so insecure in themselves. And it's, like, obviously it's not their fault. When you think you should be the best, but you're constantly not the best. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah. like, I don't blame anyone.
I got a bad mark. I'm going to make it everyone else's problem.
Yeah, like, but it's like, you are never taught how to deal with a bad mark because you're always, it's like, oh, like, okay, it's weird because when you're younger, it's like, oh, you're so smart. But then when you're older, it's like, how come you aren't doing better? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a switch. And I think it happens in high school, like, from between, like, grade 8 to grade 9, because then you can see your marks mm-hmm. all the time. It's weird because I don't know. It's just, you can tell when people are insecure in their marks or insecure in themselves, that they need to like put down other people to feel good. Like, oh, my mark is so much better than theirs, so look how good I am. You know what I mean? Like, it helps them, mm-hmm. like, feel more comfort in themselves. It's like, mm-hmm. like, to put down other people, that means they're better than them, and they want to be the best.
And it's really alienating. Like, I know this, like, the social episode already aired, but it's quite alienating because you're, not only do you feel isolated in, like, your own community of people, it's so hard to talk to people outside gifting. Like, it's so hard because, when I was younger, there was this really gross, like, divide that I put in my own head between them and me. And now as I'm older, there's that shame of having that divide between them and me. And it's like, I don't want to, I think someone else in the other episode said, like, we understand that, like, two people who weren't gifted, this seems like a really insignificant thing. And, like, you know, if it's not a part of your life, it's not a part of your life. Like, I get it 100%. But when you have something that is so big part of someone else's life, and someone that it's not something they know or they have that it's a part of their life, like, it's hard. And, like, and it can come out in really negative and toxic ways.
Like, it's hard to, like, even throughout this episode, we've like constantly said things like not to sound like blank or not to be like this or like just, like not to like toss my own salad or whatever. We've like constantly said phrases like that. But I think it's like there's almost a guilt in saying this because we know that it's such like a frivolous little thing to be upset about for like a lot of people. But like it's left such a big impact on us. But you know what I mean? Like it's so hard to fully explain it. Like once you start talking about it, people are just like, just get to complain about being smart. And like it sounds like that. I know it does. But it's like it's so much deeper than that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's no, like it is.
And like in theory, the gifted program would be a great program. Like if the whole toxic aspect was in there. Because in theory, it's like you're pushing your peers and yourself. It's like a good program. You're filled in a class with like I guess I don't want to say like-minded individuals, but just like people that want to be want to do good in school. So you're
no, I'm not sure. I think the gifted program in itself is. I think I agree with the like-minded part, but I do think the system itself is
like there are a lot of issues, but like
I think
with the right teachers and with the right like because there are some gifted classes that we've had that have been genuinely good classes like.
Mm-hmm.
Because the teachers know how to teach gifted kids. Do you know what I mean? I think that's a really big part of like
yeah.
When teachers can communicate to you that your mark isn't end all, like you know what I mean?
I think the system itself is flawed. I think with that, I think it's like when you like-minded individuals are good, and I think you should put them together. But at such a young age, I think especially when the thing that's bringing them together is marks. You obviously will start comparing marks.
Yeah.
And I think that is super toxic. I think the things that happened to me and stuff with me in elementary school, I had a big toll on my life. And it's been cause for many of the things I have, the issues I could say that I face with now.
Growing up with it is definitely weird. Like you can kind of see a difference between like the gifted kids that started the gifted program in high school versus the ones that started in elementary school. Do you know what I mean? Like there are a few that's in grade like in high school. Like you can kind of see a difference. Like I know a few people that did that. You can kind of, like they're more down to earth and they're more like reasonable, I think. And but it's I don't want to completely bash the gifted program because
I will.
No, I can't.
I'm not bashing it.
Like, for me, I think I honestly would have been worse off if I wasn't. Just because, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was maybe because I was in private school from, like, I started school in private school, and that in itself is its own competitive, toxic environment in some ways. But, like, I know, I remember I mentioned at the beginning that I was in public school in grade one for, like, 2 weeks. And the reason that my parents pulled me out was because I could not handle being in an environment with kids who didn't have the same mentality as me. And I don't know if maybe like what that says about me. And but I need, and maybe that's really terrible, but I kind of needed that like-minded competitiveness, because like I felt really alone in elementary school in the first grade, because no one else seemed to understand why I cared so much about like first grade tests and stuff like that. So I think there's definitely a benefit to having. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't think I would be here today if it wasn't for the competitiveness of gifted. And I know it was not like the healthiest, but
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
I don't think I would be as successful as I am now with what I want to do and going where I now want to go without it.
I think I would have been fine outside of gifted, just because I'm like not a really competitive person, but I think it's like within, like, if I wasn't gifted, I don't think my marks would be as high, but I still think they would have been good. I think I would have been fine. I think I would have been, like, happier, maybe. I think I would have had...
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know if just, like, success is, like, fully measured in academic... Like us talking about...
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm talking pure...
But I think it's interesting that we talk about the outcome of gifted and how it works in terms of our mark. I think that's interesting because it just kind of still shows
Sorry, I was thinking socially. Like, I would not have been able to survive
like how we talk about how we needed the competitiveness to drive us, but like drive us towards like our mark. Like,
that's, you know, fair. What
I
mean?
And I remember, one big thing that I think the gifted program, the fault is just the way that the gifted program is treated. Because I remember in the article that we read during our therapy session in grade 10, it talked about how gifted kids aren't praised for their work ethic or their effort or like their genuine self. They're praised for their outcome. They're praised for their good marks. And there's been studies that show that, like, if you praise a kid on how well they studied and how well they work and how well their effort is, rather than how well they performed, like how well their mark is, how well their final product was, the kids that got praise on their work ethic did better and were less stressed. And I think when you start praising kids based on their outcome and not what they did to get that outcome, it makes it seem like their outcome is all that matters. Like, it doesn't matter if they understand the content. Like, I know very smart kids in my classes that have like test anxiety and stuff like that, that don't perform well on tests, but you know they know it, but now they feel like really crappy because they're not doing well on the test, but they know the content. And I think I guess if there's parents listening to this about like whether or not their child is gifted, I think one big important thing is to remember that when your child is gifted, don't diminish their worth to just their marks. Keep reminding them that they're smart because they try hard, because they put in the effort and they like study, and they're like, not just because they're naturally smart. Like obviously it's nice to hear like you're naturally, but like don't make that the reason why they're doing good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, applaud their hard work.
I think it's like with gifted, it's like, oof, dude. I think, you know, the people, I think, oh my goodness, my parents always would have been like, yeah, studying is number one priority. And that's one thing. But I think if I wasn't in gifted and I was surrounded by people in my elementary school, I would care about studying much less. So to that aspect, I am thankful I am in gifted, because I want education to be a priority in my life. However, mental health.
Yeah. I think for me, like what Ella said about applauding your work ethic, I think that was probably my saving grace, and maybe why I have a little bit of a different opinion, because my parents, specifically my mom, was always like, you put so much work into it. Like, I saw you studying, like you did this. And to that, I think that really helped some of the other toxic traits. But I don't know if I can even say whether or not I would be better or worse off with gifted now that I think about it, because I have no point of reference. But I think we've covered a lot. I think we've unpacked this box quite.
Oh my goodness!
Well, like we could a little bit messily
talk about this topic for like days, but
we do, yeah. We talk about gifted so much. probably a little bit annoying to the people that to our friends who aren't gifted, who hear us complain about it, but it's something very real, and I guess to anyone who's listening, who is gifted and is experiencing something similar, I hope maybe you found a little bit of solace in this, to know that you're not alone in your own little bubble, and that you're working very hard, and that's really good. Be proud of that.
Oh, dude. There's so many, we touched about, a lot of, little moments of tidbits that happened in gifted and elementary and in high school, and we can go on forever, but I guess we can all agree, there's just things that are, things in high school happen because of elementary, and things carry on, and gifted, at least we are the way we are because of our environment, and that's not to fault anyone, but to fault the system, I guess, and to fault the society that environment is.
Yeah, there's your takeaway.
Thanks for listening to our
podcast.
Thanks for listening to our very long rant
for an hour and a half.
Academic insecurities and how we're scared to do bad on stuff. Thanks for listening to us ramble. We hope you enjoyed it.
Catch us when we're in university for part two of this episode.
make sure drop a like, because we thrive off validation. Drop to subscribe, because we love numbers. Mm-hmm. And follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts. Yeah, because we need some love and validation, because we don't get that from our academics. we will see you all next time at the next cafeteria conversation. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.